Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
High noon in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. Ready for this, B?
What you got?
Per Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, NFL Insider, multiple NFL teams have inquired about whether legendary coach Bill Belichick would reconsider his move to college football, including the Raiders, whose new minority owner, Tom Brady, spoke recently with his old coach, per league sources. Mm. You remember what Kingsbury said when he got asked about
until
Belichick?
You see him on the sideline?
Said, until I see him coaching on the sideline in a college game.
He's been traveling to visit people. Well, and people are trying to knock Deion because Bill is going. Bill might be just putting the charades out there.
And those people might be coming to him, too. Like, I don't know if he, you know, maybe kids are just taking visits to Chapel Hill or whatever.
Well, they say he was on the road.
Where do you think Belichick's coaching week one, 2025, this September?
I'm going to still think he's going to be in college. And the reason I'm saying that is because these owners don't like giving up a lot. Okay, and I think Bill still is going to demand an awful lot.
Well,
like in other words, he's going to walk in. This is going to the interview. Going to go, look, Bill, man, we really want you to coach. Okay, I want you to stay the hell away from the football operations. What do you mean? Don't bring your ass around me when I'm coaching. Nah, you can't stop me from coming around my team. Well, I don't want to coach you because he's getting top dollar no matter where he goes.
This is an interesting wrinkle that Pelissero just reported. Mm-hmm. Bill Belichick's UNC contract includes a $10 million buyout if he leaves prior to June 1st, 2025. Mm-hmm. That much we had heard about, right?
Yeah.
I read again. Though it's not entirely clear whether it would apply if he returns to the NFL in the coming weeks. So that buyout could just be for another college team. Mm. And B, you are right. There are teams that it wouldn't add up or make sense for. But of the jobs that are open right now,
who doesn't have a GM? That's what I want to know. Because he's going to a place that doesn't have a GM.
Just listen to the jobs that are open right now. These are all such rudderless ships that maybe they do say, okay, Bill, just Jets, Saints, Bears, Patriots. I think we can cross Patriots off.
Yeah, he's not going there.
So there's five jobs because Antonio Pierce got fired last night. Jets, Saints, Bears, Jags, Raiders.
I can see the Jets.
The Saints.
Or the Raiders.
You think the Saints are in such a position that they would let, like. Yo, did you hear what the Jaguars owner did? He was on a Zoom call with the GM, with Balky, who apparently everybody hates. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Balky Bartakamus. And he said, he's like, yeah, man, you know, Trent's going to be in charge unless whoever I hired to be the new coach says he's got to go. And he just sat there on the Zoom listening to this and was like, okay.
Well, guess what, though? What could you say if the owner is saying that?
Right.
I'm being honest. You know, if the owner is saying, yeah, you going to be here unless the coach says you got to go. Well, Balky might be one who's just crazy enough where he say, you know, Bill, come up in here and we're going to let you do what you want to do, brother.
Up in here? That is a wild little something to watch as this coaching cycle continues. All right. Also, a little bit of news coming out of Philadelphia. Jalen Hurts practicing today. Nick Sirianni says, not concerned about rust.
Okay.
I tend to believe him.
Kind of figured he'll practice sometime today. But then again, I would be concerned about rust if I were Nick Sirianni.
Really? Why?
Just a playoff, dude.
Yeah, but you don't think Jalen just has enough career starts and such?
Yeah, North Korea starts coming off a concussion. It's not his first concussion either.
Yeah, and so he's a running quarterback.
You have to worry about the next one.
Do you have to specifically worry about the tush push?
No.
That play.
They're not going that fast with that deal, like there for the tush push.
Yeah, but there's undeniable head contact.
Let me tell you what the tush push happens. This is what happens on the tush push. Everybody go there, then they lift him and put him across. They roll him across the top of it. It's not that major head.
I agree, but your head's getting contact.
But not very hard. If when he's running and taking a hit, that's way faster than that tush push.
All right. Playoff week is upon us. It is wild card weekend. There are two teams that won't play this weekend. I think it'd be asinine if anybody but those teams were the tops of the power rankings. Do you agree?
Yeah.
All right. Eric Edholm, we go with him every week, NFL.com. His top two teams in the NFL, Kansas City Chiefs, Detroit Lions.
Right.
Both teams go into the playoffs with the same record, 15-2. KC was 15-1 until they played Carson Wentz and a bunch of, like, backups and lost. They completely mailed it in. Were you surprised to the level they mailed it in Week 18?
No.
But that's – Andy typically doesn't go that far.
They already had the number one seed.
I'm aware of all that, but typically Andy doesn't go that far.
Number one seed. That's what they wanted, and when they got that, I figure he can relax at that point.
Okay. Detroit had to go out and win it.
They did.
They shut down a Vikings offense that had been pretty good. All right, Brian, who is your third best team in football going into wild card?
Third best team in football going into the wild card. All righty, let's see what I got back at the E. I'm going to go Buffalo.
That's how Edholm has it. The Bills are the 2 seed in the AFC. Bills have been really good. I take it back. They just lost to the Patriots, which cost the Patriots the first overall pick. This is a good.
And that's probably why they fired my man.
Yeah. This is a very good line here. He said the Bills were operating at golf cart speed for most of their eventual loss in New England.
That's funny.
I think they started Trubisky in that one.
That's some funny stuff right there.
Who you got fourth, B?
Ravens.
Edholm goes Eagles.
All right.
He goes Eagles, then Ravens 5. Eagles obviously have a tough matchup this weekend with the Packers. The Packers are pretty damn good 7 seed, man.
Yeah.
And the Ravens get to hope. The Ravens, that's incorrect. I don't know why they have this listed weird. They have the higher seeds listed above, even though they're the home team, which is usually listed below. Mm-hmm. Ravens host the Steelers. Eagles host the Packers. Question for the room on those two games. Who has a higher chance of losing? The Eagles hosting the Packers or the Ravens? It's a much bigger spread.
Yeah.
Landfill, bigger chance to lose, bigger upset chance. The Eagles hosting the Packers or the Ravens hosting the Steelers?
I think that it's probably the Packers.
How much of that is Hurts just coming back?
A decent amount, yeah.
Jeffrey?
The Packers are going to be the ones to upset the Eagles.
Okay, you answered that question very, very backwards, but I won't hold it against you.
Oh, my Steelers, bad. I'm working on something, so I just heard it on the back end.
Always working on something. Appreciate that.
There you go, Jeff. Keep working, baby.
The Steelers have actually beaten the Ravens this year, and the Packers have actually lost to the Eagles this year. Now, granted, it was week one, and they were in another country, in another continent.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're looking at results.
Brazil, wasn't it?
Yeah, Brazil.
Yeah. Wow, damn.
I think if Hurts is right, the Eagles are pretty damn loaded. I think the Ravens are pretty damn loaded. I wonder if some of this with us is wanting the Eagles to lose as we look at that matchup. But Green Bay's good, man. They have 6 the Vikings. How do you feel about the Vikings who have now you got to wonder if Detroit showed you a way to just go after Darnold nonstop.
Well, let's remember, everybody don't have the same ability as Detroit. And everybody doesn't have an offense as fiery and as good as Detroit's. So what they were doing, and everybody doesn't have a coach who just don't give a damn.
Sure.
Dan is like, he's just like Dan Quinn. I'm going to give confidence to my team. We're going for it. We are here to win the damn game. We're not messing around. You know, because it sounds like when who was it played the 49ers last? And what was it? Their linebacker said, "Oh, they coming here to," and they said, "We're gonna play everything." And they're playing against Detroit, and Detroit said, "We're going out there to win it. We playing everybody." And he said, "Yeah, they coming out to get their ass kicked." They
did the Monday nighter.
They
out there.
Destroyed
right.
them.
Right.
And I wish y'all was playing good early, but then all of a sudden, Detroit finally got that little momentum, and it was all over for them.
Well, dude, there is something to what you're saying in that Detroit has a billion injuries, but they still want to take the fight to the opposition defensively.
Yeah.
They play their corners in man coverage so that they can send more guys and just speed the game up. And I think, you know, you're able to do that because you also have a belief that your offense can score with anybody. I think you see more truth about their defense when Dan Quinn goes for it on fourth downs and stuff because he just wants to keep his offense on the field.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have a belief that whatever the race is, you can still win it. It allows you to be more aggressive, and they've created a mindset, obviously.
Totally.
But
the way that they practice, like, they do exactly what Washington has said, and Washington is doing. They compete. So when you get in the game, the backups are not worried because they've been competing with the starters every damn day, and they go for it. And when they get in the game, I don't see guys getting, like, nervous when they are having an opportunity to go and play. They're ready for it because they've done it.
One thing that isn't – so the Vikings had a hell of a regular season. They went 14-3. They were really good throughout. I think they won a bunch of games that folks didn't really expect. And as time continued, you had to be like, okay, this team is for real. That pass rush is for real. One of the teams they lost to was the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go back to week 8 when they played, but the Rams beat them 30-20 in LA. Do you think the Rams could take them down again?
If the Rams defense can do exactly what Detroit did, where they could affect Darnold, because everyone kept not trusting in Minnesota because of Sam Darnold. And Detroit knew how to affect Sam Darnold. Do the Rams have enough to affect him? Because that dude, he was the one that stated he was seeing ghosts, right?
Yeah.
So he saw ghosts in that game because some of those passes he was selling, he had to see somebody else. He wasn't throwing it to his receiver, and he didn't really have pressure. He started to feel pressure that wasn't there sometimes. You know, so maybe, just maybe, if they can do that well enough, they may be able to.
All right, at number 7, NFL.com has the Washington Commanders, 12-5 on the regular season. I'm reading now. The Washington Commanders pulled Jaden Daniels at halftime, with the offense struggling and their pursuit of the 6th seed still undecided. But it was probably the right call, giving Daniels some rest for a minor leg ailment and whatever other bruises he's accumulated through a brilliant rookie season. Dan Quinn has pushed just about every right button in his first year in Washington, too. So it's no surprise his crew then fought back to win in Dallas. Also fitting, each of the Commanders' past 4 victories came down to their final play from scrimmage. They've proven themselves to be a feisty, resilient bunch, apparently ignorant of which games they should and shouldn't win. That's a scary brand of team to face in the postseason, even with a serious first-round opponent in Tampa Bay on tap. Not only did the Bucs beat them in week 1, but Tampa has also been in win or else mode since dropping to 4-6 in late November.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a pretty fair synopsis of this Commanders team.
But the thing about it is that this team feels if there's time on the clock, we have a chance. And what does that do to the other team? Our team got to keep going. And a lot of teams are not capable of keep going. Because they read the clock. They read what's going on. They look at the scoreboard. And they think, oh, we got this. Washington's still coming. And then all of a sudden, they get right up on your heels. Now you got to pick up the pace. And you may not be able to.
It's remarkable what this team has accomplished, how well they've played, kind of the high level they've been at. For 4 months now. I mean, it's a long grind of a season, and they've been able to maintain it at a really high level.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it says a lot, man. Going to Tampa isn't like
they're not going to be overwhelmed. I can guarantee you that.
No. I mean, really, if you look at these playoff matchups, teams that will – the teams that are going into intimidating situations – I don't know if you agree with me. I'm not putting these in order, but where there will be intimidating situations, and whether just because I'm not sure the teams will get intimidated, but these will be loud, hostile, rough weather situations, mm-hmm. is all I'm saying. The Broncos going to play the Bills. That joint will be rocking.
Yeah.
I bet it'll be 10 degrees in Buffalo, whatever they got, right?
Bills Mafia be going crazy.
Yeah, they'll be jumping through tables, lighting their hair on fire.
Crazy as hell.
Tim McDonough dousing himself in mustard. I think – I don't think it will impact them because they've done it so often. But the Steelers going into Baltimore, that's going to be a hostile crowd.
It's going to be hostile, but they're loud. Used to it.
Right, but like it's still – that is a tough situation to play in. Now, the Packers going to the Eagles – the Packers play their home games in Wisconsin in December.
They're not worried about the weather.
The weather in Philly ain't going to kill them.
Some
but
of
the
those
crowd
people in the stands might be a little, yeah.
But like Green Bay's played there before. Like none of this is going to be overwhelming.
Nah.
But then if you look at the underwhelming to perhaps just whelming environments, I think the Houston crowd will bring it with the Chargers coming to town. Mm-hmm. But that's indoors. I mean, that's the Saturday 4:00 game. Like it's not, I don't think that crowd is going to dictate what happens in that game. I don't want to undersell the Tampa crowd because they're good. Bucks fans are a good fan base.
They are. They will go for their team. They kind of like the team. The same way the guy explained them. They're front runners.
But there's going to be a ton of Washington fans there.
Yeah,
I think it'll be 65-35, 60-40 even. Like there's going to be a ton of Commanders fans there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people traveling from here, a lot of people traveling from all over the country, and there's a lot of them just there. So, like, and dude, the weather's going to be 55 degrees. I think the least whelming situation, the most underwhelming, whatever you would say, I won't be shocked if there's more Vikings fans than Rams fans in L.A. on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in L.A.
There's a lot going on in L.A.
Yeah, man. We'll go to the after party. Yo, hell with the game.
If you live in Minnesota and your team went 14-3.
Yeah.
And you can go to L.A. for the weekend.
Yeah, but they love Minnesota, though.
Sure, but you want to go cheer for your team.
Yeah, they may be watching. They do a lot of big parties up there in Minnesota, bro.
I am sure they'll be partying, but at the same time.
They may
time,
call the Prince family and rent out Glam Slam. They have a watch party.
What do you think the least impactful home field advantage will be?
It is L.A.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, we agree on it.
L.A., the thing about L.A. has so much going on that, you know, the people that even like the Rams probably have something else they can go do.
Sure.
Yeah.
Who do you think the worst team in football was this year?
Worst team in football? Giants or the Jaguars? 1-2.
They go Browns, Titans, Giants at 30, Pats at 29, Raiders at 28, then the Jags at 27. It's bad football out there, man.
Yes, it was.
Nice to not be a part of that group. Here is the plan. When we come back, you'll hear from Dan Quinn, Commander's head coach. Plus, we're going to give away some Wizards tickets. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley.
Hi, B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. The B. Mitchell Finley Show is brought to you by Rude HVAC Equipment. Head over to Rude.com to find a contractor near you and available tax credits and rebates. That's R-U-U-D. And remember, if it ain't Rude, it ain't right. Well, we have Dan Quinn is going to be joining us kind of soon here. Every Wednesday, he actually talks to the media. We're going to get his take on everything he's expecting this week, how practice is going to go and everything like that. But you know what? We are in playoff mode for the football. And I am going to be excited to hear the things he has to say. I know he's confident in his football team, as we all should be. I understand we've had a long time where things have been bad. We're out here, we can never, and we always want to go back to what was. Let's start thinking about what is a little bit, where we've had a team that really has come out and impressed us a lot. The coach has been impressed. I've thoroughly been impressed. This is one of the funnest years I've ever had covering this football team. I'll tell you that. I've been through some years where it's been a lot of turmoil. It's been rather bad. Things weren't good. But right now I feel confident about this squad because I believe that everybody is buying in. Everybody is out there doing the same things and not necessarily overly concerned about what was. We have a young quarterback who I think has grown since the first game. We got a defense who's improved. They're not where they're supposed to be, but they have improved. And I believe that this game is going to be a lot different than what it was the first time. Landy, I think he's starting right now. You want me to throw it to it? All right. Now Dan Quinn is going to be joining us shortly. We'll definitely get out there and listen to him when he starts talking. All right, let's go out to Commanders Park right now as Dan Quinn addresses the media.
Good to see you guys. And as we get started today, you know, visiting with the team some, the second season begins today, and there's a good energy that goes with that. And use it and also normalize that good energy. And that goes the focus into execution, into improvement, into the game plan. And so we'll throw a great week of preparation. Tampa's really strong in a number of areas, and it'll definitely take the whole week to get ready. And so all that said, let's get rocking with you guys.
Before we get there, can you give a little injury update on like what you expect like guys like Marshawn, Tyler to do?
We have a couple guys that are on some vet rest days, but after that, everybody's involved to some level today, so that's a good thing, all hands on deck. So we had some vet rest days of Zach, Cleland, Dante, and Terry.
And then, you know, you talked a lot about culture in the building and all that. When did you really start to see that shift into the way that you wanted it to be? Like, when was that, at what point in the season?
Yeah, because I don't want to get play style mixed into that as well. Going to Arizona and staying there, I thought that was a step in the right direction. John, we were still really new as a group together. And so I thought spending a whole week, you know, went out to Cincinnati and then out to Arizona to stay there. That was, I'd say, a step in the right direction. Going through adversity is also a part of that journey, because if you have standards about how you do things together, then you have to live those on the best of days and the hardest of days. And so creating a standard together was an important part of creating a culture, because it's how we do our business together. And so many times I've separated like atmosphere and culture. We've got a good vibe about how we do things, but that's not your culture. It's how you practice, how you meet, how you do things together. And so that doesn't happen overnight, but it does take time with people doing it together. And so I would say that's probably the first steps that I saw. You know, good wins, did you react the same? Tough losses, you know, were you able to come back and stand in that space? So after our third loss, to come back, knowing that many others would have said, hey, why don't you just, you know, see what happens and where it goes, we did the opposite of that. And we stepped right into improvement and getting better, and that's what our culture is about. And so I thought that was probably when I knew that they were headed in the right direction, handling the difficult times, knowing there's more work to do and going for it.
What tangible things did you see during that week in Arizona that pays off? Like, is there anything you remember from that time that like really jumps out, that this is a sign of what could happen?
Doug had shared a good story with me. He said, Dan, I saw something I hadn't seen in a while. Just, they said, wasn't no meeting going on, and there was just a lot of guys hanging out together, whether that was in the meal room and it was, you know, when we were done for the evening. I saw the quarterbacks, they were just in office, you know, away from me, of going through things together. And so coaches, players, and so enjoying spending time together, I think, is a big deal. And I, you know, somebody said that when we had the holiday party here, it was less like a office party and more like getting together with your friends.
I get that practice week for you guys should be relatively the same, but in terms of during the regular season, I imagine it's hard to like completely change what you're doing, perhaps to adjust to the opponent, because you have to do what you have to do. But when in the playoffs and the one and done, does that change the approach? Is it the, you know, I'm not saying you throw like the kitchen sink in there, you know what I mean? But like, is it more of like, hey, we have to do different things a little bit in our process because it's just this one game, one opponent?
No. In fact, just the opposite, Ben, to where I, in fact, I went into practice, into the first meeting Monday, saying exactly what you had. Thought some, let's change some things up. I thought we'd really, I said, I've been saying this for 17 weeks. It's, you know, a process of winning that you go through to get ourselves ready. And we have to work really hard to get ourselves ready. But the process of that, which I wanted them to feel, should feel exactly the same. I recognized, you know, there's energy and that goes with that. And that's a good thing, you know, like coming back from a long flight and that on Monday, like there was energy in the workouts and stuff to go. And so use that, have it as a balance, but also knowing that it's there. And so it is a little bit of a turbo boost that you get this time of year, and you should use it to your advantage.
And obviously you have veterans on the team who've been in these situations. That's part of the reason you got them here. But you also have had so many alumni come back over the course of the year, including some of the quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls here. How much do you think any of that, or do you point back to any of that, or how much do you think any of that will resonate, say, for Jaden or some of the young guys about, hey, this is something that happened here before, and we're taking the steps right now to go do it ourselves?
We don't talk about in that way during this time. We recognize, you know, that excellence that's taken place here in the past, but we don't try to carry any of that with us into the game. It's just this game, man. And so the guys don't have to, you know, worry about things from years back or months back. It's just the focus into this week. And then those are great topics and discussions for the postseason, but as it applies to this game, there's plenty of looks and things to get ready for, you know, for this game specifically.
Dan, obviously this is year one of this program, and so in a lot of ways this is a beginning for what you're starting here, but is there a way to impart how valuable these opportunities are, that you can have good seasons, you don't make the playoffs,
sure,
that this is an opportunity?
It is, and that's really the way that we look at it. And I can recognize that maybe externally there weren't expectations. That's understandable. I think when I got here, I never used the word rebuild. I thought there was a recalibration that would take place. But it is all hands on deck, you know, when you get to these moments. And I wanted that moment to feel these guys have earned that right to go battle for it. And when you get into a tournament setting, you want to be really ready. So that's why I was pumped to have, you know, the guys being able to, you know, get into practice and get the work that we need today. But I haven't looked too far ahead or behind with the group, man, and just saying, like, this is, you know, our time to go play like we are capable of, and we're going to play well this weekend. And that's something we've been digging in to go for. And, you know, the preparation, the mindset, like, we're ready to go fight. And this is an excellent team that we're going against.
Hi.
Hello.
The pledge that players wrote for the Standard going into the season, was that something they wanted to do on their own? Was it a suggestion you made to them? How did that
A suggestion for me. Okay. And I thought, as we're going through things together, I wanted them to be part of how we would do our business together. Because if it doesn't, if they're not living it, Nikki, then it's really not a Standard. So it's one thing for a coach or somebody, these are all the rules and you have to follow them, compared to this is how we're going to do business together. The preparation, mindsets, you know, of things that you want to do together. And so I wanted them to know, and I intentionally backed away some, because I didn't want to do like, oh, and add this to it and add this to it. So I wanted them to have to write it, and then I could give them some feedback on it, but it was definitely their words.
And it was the whole team, or?
Yes, not any of the rookies. Okay. We did it the weekend prior. I think it was the weekend prior to them getting here. We thought it was important to have some standards set prior to those maybe 25 guys at the time coming here. And so they could ask these older players, this is how we're going to do business. This is the way that we do our language. This is the way that we train. And so they didn't have that. So it was, I guess, probably somewhere, you know, in the 50s to 60 guy neighborhood. And then as the rookies came, we were able to articulate that to them.
Completely different topic. Jaden, obviously, in the time you've been around, what makes him so good at compartmentalizing to when he doesn't get, you know, flustered in,
yes,
in tight moments?
There's an X factor that he has. And compartmentalizing, it's an accurate term by you to see, can I put it in the box and go on to the next play? I didn't think of it in that way, but there is some of that has to go down. As much as that is, there's also like a really, you could also use the word, there's like a real discipline about him, where sometimes we've heard the motivation can be up and down, but like discipline is the day after day things. And he's a really disciplined player as well. Routine, the practice habits, the things to go through. So I would say there's probably the compartmentalized, but there's also a rock solid disciplined approach that he takes to performing, to practicing, to preparing. And I think some of that leads to the compartmentalized, like, I am ready for this. I've trained, I've put the work in, and I can still think back to Michael Phelps, you know, talking to us in Arizona about the preparation and being ahead. And I was so impressed by him that day when he spoke to the team. I was expecting somebody who was going to be 6'6" with 40-inch arms and like a superhuman, and it was really so much of in between his ears that made him so unique. And I really remember, I can remember it like it was yesterday.
How much of the compartmentalizing did you realize before the draft, and how much of it is seeing it manifest once he got here?
More the manifestation of that, because I imagine you had to go through some of that, but that's other people giving you information. And so that's nice, and the information is important, but it's also one thing to see it for yourself, because the film evaluation, that was a fairly easy part of it. It's all the other things that go into the position that make him unique.
And on the field, why has Jaden had a lot of success, particularly throwing downfield this season?
Well, I think, one, like, he's put a lot of work in with the guys, so there's, you know, things they do early, things they do late, and so Terry's been a big factor in that. But we've worked really hard. He and his teammates have worked really hard at extending plays and remaining passers to go down the field as well. So to me, it does come from the work.
Hey, good afternoon, Coach.
Good afternoon.
You coached against Mike Evans a few times in your career. How has he kind of really stood out to you as a player, and then also his matching the Jerry Rice record last weekend?
Yeah, I think just a remarkable competitor. I think, if I'm not mistaken, when I even coached in college, my first game coaching at Florida might have been against him, and in the SEC, yes. And I've just followed his career. It's not just the length. There's lots of guys that are taller or longer, but it's the competitive will, the routes, the discipline, the competitiveness, all of those things. You know, when you're looking at sustained success, you better have the whole thing, and he certainly does.
And then this will be your first time on one side or the other of the Marshawn Lattimore and Mike Evans rivalry. How can a rivalry like that between two great players impact the flow of the game?
I don't think it can impact the flow of the game, but there's definitely matchups all over the field that make a difference in winning and losing, and these are two elite competitors, and it's honestly what makes, like, coaching so much fun, you know. And those aren't the only two that are going to be absolutely battling for it. It may be the only ones that the networks may show, but let me tell you, there'll be a lot of guys that are really going to go for it. And that's what it does make that part fun.
Specific with Marshawn, how many more specific steps do you need to see him make to be able to play Sunday?
He's hitting all the markers in a good space, so we'll have a jog-through practice today, and then we'll be full speed back at it tomorrow. So he's hit all the markers up to this point, and I anticipate that trending through the week. But tomorrow and Friday, you know, specifically tomorrow, will be one that's more speed.
And then 4 months to the day today was the opener in Tampa.
Right on.
How much, if at all, can you take from that long ago in an NFL season?
I think there's things you take. It's a full circle moment. You don't usually get to play somebody at the start of a season, the start of a second season. They absolutely got the best of us on that day. And so it's a good measuring stick to see, you know, how much we've improved. And so they're an excellent team, and clearly on that day showed it.
You've been through the postseason before. As much as you want to make this a normal week, what does change when it comes to the one-and-done factor?
The energy that goes into the week, you can feel it. It's palpable. And so I wanted to make sure, for most of the guys, normalize that. You should feel this. And if you don't, that's okay, too. It's not like you're, you know, don't have a pulse. But I didn't want any of that to manifest itself into doing anything that's too different. Use it for energy. Use it for the game plan. Use it for something specific that you want to improve on to go. And as it goes through the week, there's a heightened awareness that usually comes in. Let's go back through this again. And it mostly comes from the players, which is a good thing, that the game plan right, get your bodies right so you can really perform at your best. And you want to do all the preparation you can, Chick. So when you do kick that thing off on Sunday night, man, I put the work in, I'm ready to go get down.
Two more. Dan, you've used the phrase, we got to beat these heavy hitters. you have another heavy hitter here in Tampa Bay, and maybe outside these walls and outside the building, many people think you guys are the underdog in this matchup. How do you and maybe your players embrace that mentality of being the underdog, and how can that maybe be dangerous in this type of setting?
But the team has earned this right to go fight, and we're going to fight like hell. When you get into, you know, the postseason, you want to make sure you're playing your best football. And we've worked hard to find those areas of improvement. By no means are we, you know, where we're going to end up in that improvement. But I love, you know, what we stand for as a group. And these guys have earned this right to go battle. And I'll leave it at that.
All right, that's Dan Quinn talking to the media as he does every Wednesday. But this one is different because it's the playoffs. We're going to take a break here, and we get back, JP and I will break down what we've heard.
Funny, I make a real effort to close this door when we're out here in Ashburn, but everybody can still hear us, so maybe I should make less of an effort. Got some good information there from Dan Quinn on Marshawn Lattimore. I think DQ was, you know, a little bit open, and he's not often, but he said he's hit all the markers so far. Today is going to be a really light practice, just so everybody understands that. It's going to be quick. It's going to be a jog walkthrough is how he described it. That's pretty normal for this late in the season. These guys are beat to hell. Tomorrow they'll probably do some serious install, but then they'll have a long recovery period. But Dan Quinn sounded pretty damn optimistic to me that Lattimore is going to be able to play this week. And I think it made even more sense where he didn't seem too interested in the Lattimore-Mike Evans conversation, and he even joked. He's like, I'm sure that's what the networks will say, but we're looking at every matchup. And when you start framing it that way, it makes it seem like he thinks he's going to play. And he doesn't want to get too caught up in one matchup being the most important when it's 11 on 11, 22 on 22, 53 on 53, et cetera. It's going to be fascinating to see how that really unfolds. It's also, it's kind of crazy, dude, that we are 4 months since today, to the day. It was 4 months ago they played in Tampa. And just football seasons are living, breathing organisms that morph over the course of the year, and this one certainly has. B, just quickly, what did you make of DQ on Lattimore when I asked him?
He's ready to go.
Sure sounded like it, right?
Yeah, and I think what they've done, they've been very, very keen at when someone is injured or whatever, by being able to wait a little bit longer just sort of try to get him back right. And I think the first time when they brought him back, they didn't expect him to get hurt in that game, and he did. So they were going to make sure he'd be ready for the playoffs instead of trying to rush him back and then he doesn't be able to play in the playoffs.
Well, I also think part of what DQ has really built, and I was listening to Russillo's podcast this morning, and he had Dominique Foxworth on. Who's a Terp, guy that played in the NFL a long time, does a lot of ESPN coverage. And he was talking about Dan Campbell, but I think this is an important thing. When you get veteran players and they come in and they want to do the, yeah, we're going to build this brotherhood and everything's going to work out great, a lot of vets will be like, yeah, all right, whatever, man. Let's see. Let's get a game plan. Let's see if we can win some games. I think the vets that came in here, Wagner, Fowler, Farrell, like a lot of these guys – knew how DQ and Peters run their operation. Mm-hmm. So they came in knowing, I believe in this dude.
Yeah.
And then when the vets believe, and then you young guys, they're going to follow the vets.
Right.
And
even other vets that come in.
Right.
Yo, man, you were with him. How is he? Well, man, he's going to take care of you.
Well, and I think
when that makes a world of difference.
When you see him take care of players, because I have seen it a lot, like, a lot of times, especially my guy Chris Kerwin, shout out to him, he does a really great job of catching on camera the moments. If it's a 1 o'clock kickoff, generally these dudes know if they're playing by 11, far before when inactives come out. Sometimes they know by 10:30. And there's usually a conversation on the field that the player is generally pissed about, but deep down somewhere they are happy that the coach and the team is taking care of them. And I think we've seen that throughout the year, and I think when an organization protects their guy from injury, when they do come back,
they're ready to rock.
There's more to it. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And if you get Lattimore back, I think that's a really big deal. I want to do a few things real quick. Caller number 10, right now you get to win a pair of Wizards tickets. That's right, 800-636-1067. You win Wiz tickets Thursday, January 16th against the Phoenix Suns. You get to watch Bradley Beal come back all to right. town. Join the team as they celebrate the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and highlight his many accomplishments. For the complete Wiz schedule and tickets, visit thefandc.com. And before we go, I got to tell you about my boys over at Door Pro America. Door Pro America can handle all your garage door and opener needs. They did at my house. Our old garage door sucked. When we turned it on, it sounded like a Harley Davidson was starting up. It was so damn loud. It would like wake up my daughters two floors up. So we called the real pros at Door Pro America, and now we're leveling up. Shane and Vince from Door Pro America came out, showed us a bunch of different options, took all these measurements. We couldn't be more stoked about the new door we picked. It honestly makes our house look a lot nicer and newer. Just a garage door can change stuff like that, and it is so much quieter. It is shockingly quieter when you get a new one, especially if you have one from 1982 or whatever the old one at my house was. If you call them right now, you could save $150 on a new garage door. Call 877-DOOR-PRO. That's 877-DOOR-PRO. Tell them JP Finley sent you. Or check them out online, doorproamerica.com.